Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. On our way to our conversation, I'm going to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. And remember, it's a credit union, not just a little old bank, and it belongs to you. More information at www.mecu.com. The National Association of Black Storytellers is having their national conference here in Baltimore this weekend. A lot going on in Baltimore this weekend. And that's a huge tradition in our country, in our community here. We have in our studio from Baltimore, Linda Goss, who is one of the co-founders of the national organization. And good to see you. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thank you.
And a member of the Morgan family, where her husband is a professor of
Department of English.
English, right.
Clay Goss.
And Donald Pritchett's with us, who comes up from Williamsburg, Virginia. He is the NABS National Festival Director. Good to have you in the studio, Donald.
Hey, thanks for having us.
And you all can join us here, 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. And with your thoughts, and just maybe we can eke some stories out of our guests here during the course of this time together. But tell us about this. Everybody knows, maybe everybody doesn't know, about griots and the storytelling tradition. Mm-hmm. Since you're one of the national founders, Linda, let's start with you. Take us back to the beginning of this.
Well, the griots are the storytellers. We are a group of people who travel across the countryside everywhere. We are called to go out and tell our story, and we tell our story to all peoples. We tell our stories in the schools, in the prisons, in the neighborhoods, in the community centers, in the churches. We tell our stories wherever we are invited. And the word griot actually comes from Senegal, and griot really is a singing musician. But that term became popular when Alex Haley wrote the book Roots,
right.
And he used that term. So that term kind of took on a great meaning in terms of revitalizing storytelling, because storytelling was really lost for a while. And one of our goals is to make sure to hold on, to have people to reclaim their story, to revitalize storytelling, especially for our youth, because we all have a story to tell. And it's very important that we share our voices.
What's the range, the arc of stories that you're talking about here when you talk about black storytellers around America? Because people look at that and they think of this kind of very narrow vision of what it might be.
Oh, no.
You know what I'm saying? But it's not.
Black storytelling.
Right?
Oh, black storytelling is very broad. You can check out my book, Talk That Talk, where I talk about all the varieties of black storytelling. That's why this festival is so important and so unique, because you're going to see a variety of storytellers coming from all across the country telling a variety of stories in so many different ways. We sing our stories. We dance our stories. We dramatize our stories. We paint our stories. So, for example, our blues tells a story. So our music, our dance, all of that is storytelling. If you think in terms of storytelling coming all the way from the motherland out of Africa, when you see the dancing, the costuming, that's storytelling. That's all part of the ritual. And this is what we have brought back for the last, this is what we've been doing for the last 30 years.
So, that's all the organization is, 30 years old?
Yes, 30 years old.
So the idea of storytelling, obviously, is an ancient.
Yes, very ancient.
When you said that when Alex Haley wrote Roots and threw out the idea of griot to the world, it became kind of a popularized term.
Yes, yes.
But the storytelling went beyond that.
Yes.
I mean, storytelling
yes.
has always been among us.
Oh, it's always right? been among us. It's always been among us.
It's not a phenomenon that was just kind of recreated.
Yes, it's always
in the
been
world.
Among us. In other words, storytelling is the root or the seed of all literature, of all media. This whole idea of this radio studio, all that comes from storytelling, theater, movies, print media, everything comes from storytelling. In the beginning of time, when human beings were first created, they started. Once they created language and sound and movement, they began to tell the story. And from there, they learned how to write. So storytelling has always been at the root of all the arts, and especially of all literature.
You know, I was thinking about what Mama Linda's saying, in that storytelling is not writing, but you have to write a story.
Mm-hmm,
and sometimes in talking, you know, we don't always convey – or we may convey it better in speech than in writing. Mm-hmm. And so it's two different arts. If you ask a storyteller to write you, to put it on paper, they're going to struggle because a storyteller is used to the ear. They're used to listening and the use of words, which can be put on paper, but it's different. It's different. That's why people get hooked on specific authors, because they paint a picture. Mm-hmm. But and it's just like going to church. Mm-hmm. You go to different churches because there's a different storyteller that's putting together that story. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not.
Right,
you know?
Right. Preachers are definitely storytellers.
Yeah, but there's definitely a story, a thread when it comes to black storytelling, because that's different. That's the African-American story. That's the Caribbean story. It's black. And so that's not like an African-American storytelling.
Yeah, it comes out of the diaspora.
Yeah, yeah. It's the African oral tradition, which is to tell a story to teach.
Right.
It can be entertaining, because but if it's only told for entertainment's sake, then it might, you know,
yes.
That's
always a
meaning.
There's always African-American storytelling. African storytelling, like Brother Dylan is saying, can be very entertaining, very engaging, but there's always a moral, always a lesson to be taught, because in the beginning, that was the early education. That was where the youth got the wisdom from the elders, you know, from the priest, from the grandparents, you know, was through storytelling. That's why some of our older stories are our fables, you know, the animal stories, you know the Aesop fables. You know, some of our older stories are the myths, how the world began. We as human beings, we have always been curious about the world. Where did the sky come from? Why is the sun yellow? Why is this? Why is that? So we began to create these stories to explain the beginning, the creation of the world. So our myths are some among our earliest stories, and that is all a part of storytelling.
So and this is, I'm curious how both of you came to this, Dylan, I mean, how you came to this world of storytelling. How long have you been doing it? Where did it come from for you?
I've been a professional teller since 1990. I mean, you know, this is how I make a living. And, you know, I really started at Colonial Williamsburg, you know, telling 18th century African-American stories. And so, you know, to teach history. And then I went to a festival, and I heard Mother Mary Carter Smith tell the funeral.
Ah, yes.
And the funeral was
wish we had a tape of that right now to play for everybody.
Oh, and I sat there and I said, wow. I said, that's funny, but that's some power in that, you know, to tell, because you're just telling the truth. And you're telling in a funny way. And, you know, I grew up, ironically, with parents who never read to me. They never sat down and told me stories. But my mother made sure I had books. I have every Dr. Seuss book ever. And all I had to say when those little weekly readers would come out is, Ma, you know, and she said, get what you want. And so I was always provided books, but never really verbally, you know, told stories. And so that all intrigued me. And then it's really the power of spoken word.
Before I ask you to tell a story, and before I turn back to Linda Goss, so, I mean, you began the storytelling, you said, in Williamsburg. So this is because there was a time when Williamsburg, that the colonial Williamsburg, only told the white story of that period of time. And then the nature of existence changed in America, and people were forced to open up. So you were there in some ways at the root of changing the story of Williamsburg.
One of the tellers, Dr. Rex Ellis, will be one of the featured tellers at the concert for the In the Tradition concert, which is Friday night. And the two of us began, we were a two-man department when they first began talking about African-American history. And it was a time at Colonial Williamsburg where there was a lot of social, you know, they were talking about women now. They were talking about children and African-Americans and Indians. So it was that upheaval in the 80s of when social history was popular in museums. But at the same time, interestingly enough, storytelling started taking off and NABS began. And so it's really a rolling of the ball. And before I continue, I must say how honored both of us are.
Yes.
To be in Mary Carter Smith's
room. Ashe.
Because she toiled for over 20 years.
I think she said
24 years on a Saturday morning program.
She did.
And
it is an honor, and it is only fitting at our 30th anniversary that we're here. And so
I
want to thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
And tell us your story, Linda Gosman.
I grew up in a family of storytellers. I was born and raised in near the Great Smoky Mountains, near the foothills.
North Carolina or?
Tennessee.
Other side.
Yes, other side. So my granddaddy was a storyteller. My Uncle Buster was a storyteller. So everybody told stories. And my type of town, everybody had a way of walking, a way of talking. Everyone had a nickname, and people would do these field hollers. And I remember this old man at one of the baseball games. Every time the Negro Leagues would come to town, they would play in this big cornfield. And every time there was a home run, I could hear this sound, well, oh, well, well. And I used to wonder, who is that? What is going on? And years later, my mother introduced me to little Squillum Carr, and it was a little bitty man. So part of my type of storytelling is incorporating the sounds, the sights, the rhythms, the call and responses from my hometown of Alcoa, Tennessee. Then I went to Howard University in the 60s. I was there doing the Black Arts Movement. And yes, I was a radical. I was.
Yes, I was.
And I protested. Yes, I did. I was one of the students that took over the A building. Yes, we did, honey. We spent the night in there, a couple of nights. So part of my storytelling really came out of a political movement. I was influenced by Mira Baraka, The Last Poets, Nina Simone, Aretha Franklin. All these people were coming through Howard, Muhammad Ali. So I was just geared up. I was geared up to tell old tales for new times. Hmm. So I would take a lot of these animal stories and I would arrange them in my own way, you know, to fit to what was going on, you know. And I became part of a group called Theater Black. And we would travel throughout Howard and throughout the community, you know, telling our stories and do what I would call early rapping. And sometimes we'd be on programs with Sterling Brown. And it was just a fascinating time to be at Howard during that time. And then once I met my future husband, Clay Goss. He was a poet there at the time. We started performing together. And then he started teaching at Howard. And then one day they were looking for a storyteller because they really hadn't documented storytelling. They had black poetry. They had black dance. They had black music. And Stephen Henderson, who wrote the book, Understanding the New Black Poetry, which is a great book, I highly recommend it, said we need to document storytelling. And Clay said, well, my wife's a storyteller, and that's how I began as a professional storyteller. And this was in the 70s when I started as a professional storyteller. But back at Howard, as a senior during the 60s, I was doing storytelling. I remember doing a program for my senior presentation. I remember a professor said, it's very unorthodox, but I love what you're trying to do. You know, I'll keep on doing. He encouraged me to try this so-called storytelling thing out, you know. So from that time on, this is what I have been doing. I feel I have been called. As Brother Blue
would say, it's a way of life.
It's a way of life. This is sacred. What we do is sacred.
I'm going to come back to exploring the last thing you said.
Okay.
The word sacred.
Yes.
But first, what we said before we went on the air here, together we're going to do this for our audience. By the way, folks, the lines open at 410-319-8888. Maybe you're also a griot or a storyteller. Maybe you're going to go to the convention this weekend. Maybe you just want to show up there. We'll talk about that. Maybe the storytellers and griots have affected your life at growing up. But, Dylan Pritchard, you said you would share a story with us.
Okay. I don't have any short stories, but there is, well, this is fairly short.
Well, long as it's like not an hour long, then we'd be all right.
No, this is one of my favorite stories I heard and fixed it up a little bit, and it's very fitting for why we're here and why we've been here for 30 years. Once there lived an old, old man, and every day the old man would walk before the village and sit upon a stump at the edge. He'd rest his old bones in his feet were wide because he never wore shoes, and his hair was the color of the clouds. And the women would come by in the morning going to their gardens. And the women would say, good morning, old father. He'd go, good morning. They'd say, hey, old father, will it rain today? He'd say, oh, yeah, rain today. And then the women would sing and dance songs of life and love and all of the things in life that makes love good. And then the men would come by with their nets going to the river to go fishing. And they would say, good morning, old father. He'd say, good morning.
They say, "Hey, old father, will we catch fish today?"
He'd say, "Oh, yeah, full bellies tonight." And then the men would sing and dance songs of life and love and all of the things in life that makes love good. And then one day a little boy came by. And the little boy said, "Hey, old father, I have something for you." And he reached in his pocket. He said, "Here, take it." And the old man opened it, and it was a yam. And he ate that yam. Then he looked at the little boy and gave him a toothless grin. And then the little boy said, "Hey, old father, will you tell me a story?" He said, "A story? I got a story for you. You're great to want to have an old man tell you a story. Sit at my feet. I'll tell you a story. When I was young and when I was proud," he always started his stories that way because he learned them that way. And he told that little boy stories about life and love and all of the things in life that makes love good. But he also taught him self-respect and self-determination and respect for elders, respect for women, and respect for people that didn't look like him. All kinds of stories. And one day the little boy said, "Hey, old father, were you ever a little boy?" He said, "Yes, I was a little boy. Years and years ago, I was a little boy like you." He said, "But old father, you old. You've always been old, but me, I'm going to be young forever. I'm never going to grow old." And he heard his mother call. Well, when he got to the edge of the woods, he turned around and he said, "Hey, old father, if I come back tomorrow, you going to tell me a story?" "Good, but you know what? You still going to be old. I'm going to be young forever." Day by day, that little boy came and sat at the old man's feet. He would even tell his friends, "Hey, won't you come listen to the old man? He tell good stories." But his friends would say, "We don't want to listen to old man tell no stories. His feet probably stink. Old people smell. Their house is hot. They all wrapped up. I don't like going to see no old people." But that little boy came. Sun upon sun went by. Moon upon moon went by. That little boy became a young man. And he didn't have time to always go and stop and listen to stories. But whenever he didn't, he would walk by the old man and wave, and the old man would wave back, and he remembered those stories. Sun upon sun went by, moon upon moon went by. That young man became a man. And it was about that time that he noticed that the old man wasn't sitting on the stump anymore. And when he inquired, he learned the old man had made transition to live with the ancestors, and he was sad. But he remembered those stories. Sun upon sun went by. That man got married and had children. And it was about that time that he noticed that the other children that didn't listen to the stories were perishing. Some had died. Some were killed. Some were killers. Some had lost their mind, didn't know where they were. They were lost. But he remembered those stories. Sun upon sun went by. His children had children. Moon upon moon went by. And before he knew it, he too became an old man. And when he became an old man, he walked before the village and sat at a stump on the edge. And his grandchildren would come by. His grandchildren would say, "Hey, Grandpa, will you tell me a story?" He'd say, "A story? I got a story for you. You're great to want to have your grandfather tell you a story. Sit at my feet. I'll tell you a story. When I was young, when I was proud." He always started his stories that way because he learned them that way. And then one day, his grandson said, "Hey, Grandpa, were you ever a little boy?" He said, "Yes, I was a little boy. Years and years ago, I was a little boy like you." He said, "But Grandpa, you old. You've always been old, but me, I'm going to be young forever. I'm never going to grow old." And he went to play with the other grandchildren. Well, that grandfather sat there and watched his grandchildren play, and he noticed that he had taught them those games. Then he listened to the music and watched them dance, and, well, he noticed he had taught them that too. And as he sat there and watched them, he started to listen to the music, and he snapped his fingers and moved from side to side, because inside of that old man's body was a little boy. So young people, as soon as you get a chance, you sit down at the feet of the old mother and old father. Ask them stories about life and love and all of the things in life that makes love good. And you old mothers and old fathers that are listening, tell your children to humble themselves. Tell them stories about your grandmother that they'll never meet. Tell them what the house smelled like with real bread baking. Tell them about that candy dish that had that little great piece of candy that we always tried to get at the bottom. Tell them about Grandpa. He couldn't read. Every document has an X on it. But he woke up every morning praying that his children would get an education and have a far better life than he ever had. We need to tell our children all of our stories, because one day those children are going to be old. Yes. Just like you.
Yay, Bo. Mm. Yay, Bo. All right.
All right.
The bottom line is that we tell stories to pass it on. We tell stories to teach lessons. And it's not just my story. It's not just a black story.
That's right.
It's just a story.
That's right, just a story.
And it, some things need to be passed on. And we all have those stories of our family. And our children don't know grandma's maiden name.
That's right.
You know, and because so the women's history gets lost and we forget grandma's. We just know grandma's love, but we don't know grandma's family.
That's right.
You know, and medical history, we need to know stuff. And so everything, you know, is encapsulated in a story, and we need to just share it.
Do you both remember growing up? Well, you talked a bit about this a minute ago. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you remember growing up with stories?
Well, I definitely do. Yeah, I definitely did.
I've asked my mother. The important thing is to ask. My mother passed away 2 years ago, mm-hmm. but my mother understood what I did, and I could ask my mother anything, and she shared it, and mm-hmm. she knew the importance. And so I think that that's an element that's sometimes lost, mm-hmm. is that we have to instill in the youth the yearn to know. There's an African proverb that says, not to know is bad, not to wish to know is worse.
That's right. Some
of us have never even questioned. We never even mm-hmm. thought of it. Mm-hmm. And we just need to sit and mm-hmm. talk mm-hmm. and ask questions and just that don't have anything to do with anything mm-hmm. other than mm-hmm. just for knowledge of history.
Before we're going to take a break here in a minute and come back and do another 5 or 10 minutes, and then we're going to talk to Ayesha Braveboy from the Black Legislative Caucus about what they're doing this weekend as well. Everybody's doing something this weekend. People are calling in. We want to get their calls and... Linda Goss promised she was going to do a little piece for us as well, mm-hmm. so we have that. And I have more questions for both Linda and Dylan. So don't go away. We're going to take a very brief break and come right back to finish our conversation about the Black Storytellers Convention coming to Baltimore with two of our great storytellers in-house. Stay with us.
All right.
Welcome back. I am here with Linda Goss and Dylan Pritchett. Linda Goss is National Association of Black Storytellers co-founder.
Along with Mother Mary Carter Smith.
Who I just adored.
Oh, yes. We love her.
She was a very special human being.
Yes.
Mother to us all.
That's right.
She's
mother
amazing,
to us all.
Amazing woman.
Yes.
And Dylan Pritchett is here with us. He's the festival director. It's coming to Baltimore. Let's go right to the phones at 410-319-8888. And Julia, you're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Julia.
Hi there. I'm a proud member of the Griot Circle of Maryland.
Yeah, all right. There you go.
And I want, and also privileged to have known Mother Mary myself. But I wanted to make a little plug for what Dylan was telling the story. It just made me think of, there's a national organization called StoryCorps that some people may have heard of.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's in the business of recording and archiving stories. In fact, Mary Carter Smith had the ability to do that when they were here in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. We recorded her, and that's archived. But they have a project they call the National Day of Listening, which is encouraging people to take the day after Thanksgiving instead of going shopping and do exactly what Dylan was talking about. It's to sit down with their elders and their family members and talk and listen to each other, you know, just as a family. So I wanted people to think about that.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's really wonderful.
Yes, yes.
And I want to thank...
You can look it up online, StoryCorps, and I'm sure it's on there.
Oh, all right. Yes. I have done StoryCorps myself.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, and I'd like to add two things. First mm-hmm. is it's good to get everybody in the same room around Thanksgiving.
Yes.
But they need to turn cell phones and televisions off. I'm real serious.
Yes.
I'm very serious.
Right.
I mean, you know, you always checking your email and people, you know, there's no one that should be more important other than those people that mm-hmm. are around you at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Friends
right.
can wait, you know.
That's right.
Matter of fact, text them and say, how come you ain't talking to your family?
Right.
You know,
there you go.
And the second thing was about the second thought was StoryCorps does document them, but we need to get we need to be encouraged to document our mother, our father, our grandparents on video,
you know, audio.
Because if StoryCorps has your story, mm-hmm. how come your mama ain't got your story?
Yes,
right.
You know, and so let's not be hypocritical mm-hmm. and let mm-hmm. somebody else take your story. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, the beautiful thing about StoryCorps is that that's what they do. They record conversations between people who are actually connected.
Connected, yes.
So it sometimes it's a way for people to tell a story that they had never told, you know, when they were on their own. So anyway, I just want people to know and think about that, and I'm going to go back to listening. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.
We plan to see you, Julia.
Right. Come to the festival. Come to the festival.
Oh, I'm there.
All right. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Julia. And Julia also wrote us an email much early on saying, they're coming to Baltimore. I got to do the story
on
the air.
That's right.
Here we are.
And our festival and conference is, first of all, very inclusive.
Yes.
And at the same time, you know, because we will be at the Baltimore Marriott Inner Harbor Camden Yards, but we also are in the community. We have over 30 Adopt-A-Teller programs where storytellers will be throughout the Baltimore community. And every Enoch Pratt Free Library will have a storyteller. So between, you know, while we're here. And so there are plenty of opportunities to hear stories. But at the festival, at our conference site, we have workshops. We have concerts every night at 7 o'clock. All the tickets are provided at the door. But we have on Saturday especially a serious lineup because we have the Saturday morning, we have Anansi Tales. And then Saturday morning, we have Br'er Rabbit Tales. And then in the afternoon, we have the youth concert, which is youth telling to youth.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the youth liars contest. And then the adult liars contest. And those are always good.
That's the program, the liars contest.
Yeah.
Mark, you might want to come and be on the liars contest.
Matter of fact,
you might win.
And this is... And this is not a segue into your next next segment
your
at
next
all.
Your next segment at all,
okay.
Right.
we ain't going there.
But we have the Liar's Cup. We have this big silver cup
Aesop
that we pass.
You have to come up with a tail.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lie.
Oh,
a
lie. No.
A tall tail, a big whopper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we have a winner each year.
It's serious. I mean,
we've been doing
people,
it since 1986.
Yeah.
See, each year at our festival, something different happens.
Yeah.
And that is just adds on and carries on to the next festival.
Let's get another call in here before we turn back to Linda Goss and have her do a little piece for us. 410-319-8888. John in Columbia, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Mark.
Hi, John.
Just wanted to congratulate the storytellers for being here in Baltimore. And I had a chance to work with Sister Mary Carver Smith when she was at WEAH.
So, oh, right.
I want to ask the storytellers to talk about just two things briefly. One is the importance of a beginning, a middle, and an end to a story.
Mm-hmm.
And number two is the difference between the ones they make up and the ones that just pass through you when you're a creative person.
Okay.
I get off and listen. Thank you.
Who wants to begin? Beginning, middle, end.
Well, actually, a story, a narrative, has a beginning, a middle, and an end. But however, as a storyteller, let's say in the oral tradition, you story any way you choose to tell it. In other words, at the end. Sometimes when my father would tell a story, he would do the end. Then he'd go back to the beginning. Then he'd go, sometimes my mother would start, go to the beginning, then at the end. And sometimes my granddaddy would start in the middle. It was depending on what they were trying to teach you. Or what you had done that day. For example, my brother was called Little Rabbit. He was called many names, Scrap Iron, because he was tough, you know, always into something. So they had to come up with all kinds of little stories to get him to listen. So sometimes they would say, like a proverb, you're going to make your bed, you're going to lay in it. Now that's the end of the story, but they would start there, then go on back, you know. So it is important, especially if you're writing a story. You may want to think in terms of beginning, middle, and an end. That's the beginning. That's the way you begin. However, I do what I call story songs because, to me, when we're talking about the Black oral tradition, to me, we're talking about more than just a straight narrative. For example, that's why I mentioned the blues. That's why I mentioned the spirituals. Our spirituals tell stories. We are singing them. Our blues tells a story. They are singing them. You know, our comedians tell stories. So again, and we had poets such as Langston Hughes, who was a great storyteller. Our President Obama told a great story when he was in Iowa, a fantastic story. So again, it depends on what you are inspired by, what you are encouraged to do. And sometimes a story will come to you just like that, just in the spur of the moment, and you tell that story. Sometimes you'll tell a story that's a family story that has been passed on down to you. Sometimes you'll still a story. You're from another storyteller, and you tell your version of it.
Yeah.
You know. So again, there are so many different ways to tell the story, but I employ everyone to, whatever story you are telling, to be true to yourself.
That's
to make
right.
sure you're telling a story that you enjoy and you want to share with someone else. And hopefully that person will listen and they will pass that story on down, because that's the importance of storytelling, is to hear it, to soak it in, and pass it on down to someone else. That's how it continues.
I'd like to add something. And the story that I just told,
mm-hmm.
I first heard from a storyteller named Kala Jojo.
Mm-hmm.
Kala Jojo said that he read it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't want to read it anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear it, because mm-hmm. when I heard it the first time, I said, I got that story.
Mm-hmm.
But I've added so much to it.
Yes.
That story really ends with, that story doesn't talk about, so old mother, old father.
Mm-hmm.
Go tell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm throwing in.
Right.
Because I want the young people to
mm-hmm.
really understand what to do and changing it in. And another example is, someone said, when I said, he told them stories about women
mm-hmm.
and about people that didn't look like him. That's not mm-hmm. part of the story,
mm-hmm.
but that
mm-hmm.
is something that's important in the story that I wanted
right.
to put in. So to
your
answer your question, that's that channeling.
Right.
Is that you
mm-hmm.
make it yours.
Yours.
And
it, right.
it's not stealing.
Excuse me.
Right.
It's
right.
not stealing.
Oh, no, it's not stealing.
No.
But I say stealing as fun.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Oh,
fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, and, but you know, you don't throw it out there. Some things you don't throw it out there.
You throw it out there.
It's gone.
For someone to take it.
That's
and pass
right.
it on.
Right.
That's the whole
right.
point.
Exactly.
So before we have to move on, a couple things we should do. One, you were going to do something for us.
Yes.
And then we want to let everybody know how they can participate.
Yes.
And then we have to move on to our
folks
coming on next.
Okay.
But please.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
What I would like to do is something that has been a part of our storytelling tradition ever since the beginning. It came out of Africa, and it's call and response. People became familiar with it during the occupiers up in New York, when they
right.
would call out and the person would say what they heard because they didn't have a microphone.
Well, let's say the majority of white America became familiar
right,
with it.
That's right. Majority of white America. There you go. White America became familiar with it. You're right. Because we grew up on it. It was in our church.
Right.
The pastor would say amen, and the congregation would say
it's call
amen.
And response.
That's right. Call it right.
Yep.
Right.
Sure is.
Show is, right. Show is.
So,
Mark, I'm going to need you to do a little responding.
All
I'm going
right.
to call out to you.
All right.
And we're going to do something called All Hid that was taught to me
all
by my
hid.
Mother. All Hid, H-I-D.
You're in
all
this too,
hid.
Right?
Down? Yes.
Yeah, show,
yes.
show.
So every time I say All Hid, I want you guys to say All Hid. So let's do a little practice. All Hid.
All Hid.
All Hid.
All Hid.
5, 10, 15, 20. All Hid.
All Hid.
All Hid.
All Hid.
All Hid.
All Hid.
5, 10, 15, 20, all hit.
All hit.
Last night before, 25 blackbirds at my door. I got up, let them in, hit them in the head with a rolling pin. All hit.
All hit.
All hit.
All hit.
5, 10, 15, 20, all hit. Clap
all
your hands. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, all hit.
All hit.
All hit.
All hit.
5, 10, 15, 20, all hit.
All hit.
65, 70, 75, 80, mm-hmm. 85, 90, 95, 100. Mm-hmm. All hit.
All hit.
All hit.
All hit.
5, 10, 15, 20. All hit.
All hit.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Come on, sing,
this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All hit,
all hit,
all hit,
all hit.
5, 10, 15, 20, all hit,
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 all hit now.
All right, Bob,
right.
You the man. You're the man.
Good. Thank you.
Your listeners didn't know you had that in you.
Clapping your hands. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh,
Mark,
yeah.
You got the rhythm, baby.
I needed that today, I tell you. So.
It's a good thing you're
yes.
doing radio.
Yes.
If they could have seen you dancing just now.
Come on. Be nice, darling. Hurt my feelings.
Sitting
no,
my...
man. Mark, you were great. You were great, Mark.
So. But tell our listeners where we have to go, where to, how to participate, and what's happening.
Brother Dylan is the festival director. He will share that with you.
We're at the Baltimore Marriott Inner Harbor down at Camden Yards. Everything really begins on Wednesday. We have a African American history tour. Then we have a pre-festival event, which will be held at the Central Branch of the Enoch Pratt Free Library at the Wheeler Auditorium. That's free, open to the public, and it is our Baltimore affiliate, the Griot Circle of Maryland, will be producing that one, and it's a welcome to us. And we have 14 affiliates throughout the country, from Wichita to San Diego to Cleveland, three in New York, Buffalo, Rochester, New York City,
North Carolina,
Coatsy, Philadelphia, Minnesota, and Providence, Rhode Island, and they're 14.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Chicago, Georgia. Detroit.
Can't leave out Georgia.
Yeah, Detroit and Cleveland. And but anyway, everybody comes. And we're just we're just sharing. We have workshops on Thursday night, and we have, matter of fact, master class with Sharon Draper, and anyone who's understands or teaches youth will know that she's very hot now. And we also have a master class done by Sonia Sanchez.
Oh yeah,
and that will be on Friday. But every night there is a storytelling concert. Thursday night is our opening. And this, we're having tributes on Thursday.
So, how do
night.
People get involved? How do they get in touch?
They can call me, and I don't mind throwing my number out. My area code is 757-561-6658. And if you have any questions about tickets, tickets for every concert are at the door, and children are $5 for any concert. And I think the maximum is $15
per person. Most of the concerts are $10.
We can't actually, on public radio, we're not supposed to give out money.
Oh, okay.
That's okay.
You're not giving out money now.
We're
in fair exchange.
We're not giving out money.
But that's okay. But we're going to have all this on our website
as well.
We
don't give out money.
Yeah, plus we have a website.
Oh, we're a nonprofit.
We have a website. Our website is nabsinc.org. NABSINC.org. NABSINC.org.
And we will announce at the end of the show and also have that on our website.
Yes.
Well, thank you both so much.
Oh, thank you.
Linda
Goss,
Donald Pritchett, it's been an
honor
to have you on the studio.
Loved it. Honor to be here. Because we began at Morgan. Our first festival was held 30 years ago here on the campus of Morgan State University.
At the McKeldin Center.
McKeldin Center.
30 years, the only right to be here on the
show
today.
That's right.
Hey, we ain't leaving.
That's right.
30 years.
Where you going to go?
Again.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much.
So we got to get out.
We're going to take a very quick break and come back with Delegate Aisha Brave Boy. Don't go away.